much of the day, and glad to be here. I'm in the wrong tuning. This is a sing-along. Seems appropriate. I think Brad liked this song, but I can't remember. But it just sounds good to imagine. My name is John Riley. I'll have your ear only a while. I left my dear home in Ireland. It was death, starvation, or exile. When I got to America, it was my duty to go. Enter the army and slog across Texas to join in the war against Mexico. And it was there in the pueblos and hillsides that I saw the mistake I had made. Part of a conquering army with the morals of a bayonet blade. And there amidst all these poor dying Catholics, screaming children, the burning stench of it all, myself and 200 Irishmen decided to rise to the call. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. Got about 1.5 battalions right here, I'd say, so we're well on our way. We marched neath the green flag of St. Patrick, emblazoned with Erin Go Brah, bright with the harp and the shamrock and Libertad para Republica. Just 50 years after Wolfe Tone, 5,000 miles away, the Yanks called us a legion of strangers, and they can talk as they may. But from Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. What'd we do? We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. Fought them in Matamoros, where their volunteers were raping the nuns. In Monterrey and Cerro Gordo, we fought on as Ireland's sons. We were the red-headed fighters for freedom amidst these brown-skinned women and men. Side by side, we fought against tyranny, and I dare say we'd do it again. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion and we fought on the Mexican side. In 5 major battles, Churubusco was the last. Overwhelmed by the cannons from Boston, we fell after each mortar blast. Most of us died on that hillside at the service of the Mexican state. So far from our occupied homeland, we were heroes and victims of fate. From Dublin City to San Diego, We witnessed freedom denied, so we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied, so we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. Thought I'd do one other little song. When the world has gone crazy, and it's all becoming clear, when they're gunning down our comrades, and it seems the end is near, as they're loading up the launchers for the tear gas grenades, we can take off our bandanas and kiss behind the barricades. When it's madness all around, and you can see this at a glance, we will sing and we will cry, we will laugh and we will dance, as they shout their marching orders beneath the helicopter blades. We shall seize the moment for a kiss behind the barricades. They will try to break our spirit, and at times they may succeed, but our love for the world is stronger than their greed. When the building is surrounded and hope begins to fade, in my final hour, a kiss behind the barricades. As the movement grows, there will be hills and bends, but at the center of the struggle are your lovers and your friends. And the more we hold each other up, the less we can be swayed. Here's to love and solidarity and a kiss behind the barricades. Thank you.
We're the Rock Dove Collective and have been asked to lead you all in a brief meditation. This is about the midpoint of our program. So if you want to first just kind of take a deep breath and maybe let it out too. And if you feel like putting your hands on the person next to you, if they don't mind that, feel free. If they mind, you know, keep them to yourself. We thought we would do a loving kindness meditation, because I think loving kindness was very much Brad's specialty. So we'll ask you to think of various people, and that can mean thinking about them, visualizing them, feeling their energy, however you call them up to you. And for each of them, you say in your own mind, so you don't have to say it out loud, we'll wish each of them, may you be well, may you be free from suffering, and may you help create a better world.
Okay, so if we can all take a deep breath from our belly, float our eyes closed, and bring it up to the tops of our heads, and pull it back down to the center of our heart. I ask you all to visualize yourself first, be in yourself first, and keep breathing slowly. And you'll repeat after me in your own head, with your own words and your own voice to yourself. May I be well. May I be free from suffering. May I help create a better world.
Sorry, I'm a little short. Now, if you could just think of someone you love, someone's close and special to you, and think, may they be well, may they be free from suffering, and may they help to create a better world.
You can think of someone who is near you in this room, close to you in physical space, and wish for them, may you be well. May you be free from suffering. May you help create a better world.
And now if you think of someone with whom you've had a conflict or where you've been on opposite sides, and with them in your mind, say to them, may you be well. May you be free from suffering. May you also help to create a better world.
So take a deep breath in from your belly and bring it all the way to the top of your head and bring it back down to swirl around the center of your heart. If you think about the right side of your heart, have it center around there. Just take a couple of deep breaths like that and sit together. And we can bring ourselves a little back down, calm ourselves a little back down, and begin the rest of the day.
Just before, while David's getting ready, just so you know, we're probably, the program's going to get abbreviated here, like Frank was saying earlier, and so we'll go into the Plaza Garden after this, and then time's up, so that's, it may happen that not everyone on the program gets a chance to do what they need to do, so that will happen. That I'm not speaking loudly enough, I'm hearing from the back, so if things that we're not able to get to everything here, we'll get to it at La Plaza or later at Time's Up, just to reiterate what Frank said at the beginning.
Can you all hold that? Let's talk a little bit. In August 1995, I went on a road trip with Brad where he was moving his stuff from Colorado to Dreamtime Village in Wisconsin and then eventually to New York City when he ended up here. And so he had like all his stuff like crammed in this old car, and we got out of Denver and got out on the open plains, and I put in this gospel mixtape that was like the Carter Family and Bill Monroe, Blind Willie Johnson, like these, you know, pretty edgy, kind of hard, you know, rough singers. And we grooved on that for a while, and then this perfect, immaculate, bright four-part harmony of the Chuckwagon Gang comes on, and I remember just cringing, thinking like, oh, Brad is gonna think this is like so square. And he was like, what is this? Who is this? And I was like, oh, that's that's I'll Fly Away. I used to sing this in church when I was a kid. And he just loved it. And by the time we got to Dreamtime, we were singing it. And then I remember he would tell me later on that in these big bus in Seattle and other places that he would sing "I'll Fly Away" in the jail with them and like get all these other people singing, and the guards would start getting all nervous and everything. So this is one of the songs when I sing this or hear this, I think of I think of Brad. We still got our D.
Some bad morning when this life is over, I'll
fly away,
fly away,
fly away
to a home on God's celestial shore.
I'll fly away, yes, and
I'll fly away, oh glory. Hallelujah, by and by,
I'll fly away.
When the shadows of this life have grown,
I'll fly away.
Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away.
Yes, and
I'll fly away to a home where joys will never end.
I'll fly away,
oh glory.
I'll fly away in the morning
when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. When we meet,
I'll fly away.
No more cold iron shackles on my feet. I'll fly away.
Yes,
and I'll fly away. Oh, Lord,
I'll fly away. In the morning,
when I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Hi, I'm Al, Reverend Al, whatever you know me as. Brad was loved by many as a free spirit of passion and joy with a profound sense of justice in his heart. Whilst level-headed, Brad was angry as he could not stomach oppression handed down from people in power, those same forces which murdered him some days ago. Keeping the world starving whilst they accumulate more useless material objects, cutting down forests for profit, destroying the very air we breathe, Brad knew the profound ignorance that permits such bastards as W. the Clintons to rule the world. He knew through telling the stories of the people, he could help to wake up a sleeping world. He would do that with respect and always keeping the spirit of solidarity as an adhesive for a growing resistance. Brad knew well that it was time to say enough is enough. Not to sit back and pretend that one can even be apolitical when their politics affect us all. I knew Brad for many years, together standing up and fighting against this horrid machine chugging on, wreaking havoc on the good people, the common people, el pueblo. We were involved in many of the same struggles, anti-globalization from Seattle to Prague, earth liberation struggles in the Pacific Northwest. Not content to march in line amongst the hordes, no, Brad knew well his specific calling within the world uprising. Without the people's tale being told, no one outside that area would know. There would be no international solidarity. He went where he had to be for those who had no choice but to be there. He dared to tell the truth about the farcical freedom of speech, democracy, and all we've been force-fed as children. Brad did what he could to induce a thorough cleansing of lies programmed deep into minds of those possessed by consumer culture, finding his niche. Brad was a stand-up, funny, clever, all-around great friend. He had my back as he had that of all from worldwide resistance movements, constant solidarity. He knew there was no power but internal. That power over others is a sick concept, also to be exposed. I recall in Prague, whilst I am a lawyer, I was held back from many legal meetings as rumors spread that I was a cop. Brad fought for my honor there and cut the crap again. He fought for truth and solidarity, smashing false borders in a way which will always be deeply imprinted in my mind. I've recently come back to New York, and he was my closest friend here. Last time we spoke at length, he was helping me through a personally difficult time. Always there, he died as he lived, standing up for individuals, reporting for change, fighting for freedom, daring to be Winston Smith and scream to the world that no matter what newspeak tells us, 2 and 2 will always equal 4. I will always remember him as a true and trusted friend of the heart. To live on in memory is to never truly die. Ouch.
I'm Ann Waldman, speaking for some of the community around the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics and the poets on the Lower East Side. They said, must not be said. They said it, must not be said. Way leading to a future tense. Will be said, must not. Will be said. Make it to him to heal us up again. Make it to him, 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 to heal us up again. I have many fond memories of Brad, especially his participation in activist and poetics events around Boulder and during the summer sessions of the Jack Kerouac School. He was a much appreciated honorary student, a student of Allen Ginsberg, myself, there during the years of Harry Smith, our resident cosmologist's tenure. Brad seemed particularly drawn to the teachings of Hakim Bey, aka Peter Lamborn Wilson, our resident anarchist for a time, and the famed author of TAZ, the Temporary Autonomous Zone Documents, that further radicalized Brad's way of thinking. One summer during the height of the years when the University of Colorado football coach McCarthy was organizing the Promise Keepers rallies, remember them? The Promise Keepers, men who are not afraid to be men, where they would hand out brochures with scary titles like The Iron Spear, Reaching Out to the Homosexual. The PKs were on the adjoining property to Naropa's summer lawn, where we pitched our Kerouac big top tent, and we staged a mock wedding with poet Pasch in full drag with white satin wedding dress and train that needed bridesmaid attendance, and groom Brad Will decked out in elegant suit and tie. They were married by Hakim Bey in his role as priest of the Moorish Orthodox Church with a red fez atop his head. I played Brad's mother, happy to see her son married off in such opulence. Post's mother was played by Bobby Louise Hawkins. Some promise keepers were lurking behind the fence, and I remember after the event, Brad, Allen Ginsberg, and myself and my son Ambrose striking up some conversation with those curious onlookers. They wanted to know if the bride was a man. One PK was so curious, he jumped the fence to our side, much to the delight of Brad and Allen Ginsberg, who saw this as an amazing instance of poetic justice. If you could just magnetize the opposition with drag, agitprop, guerrilla theater. So memories of Brad abound inside the maelstrom, the temporary autonomous zone that is the Naropa community, and his ongoing friendships with many of the folk here, poets Brenda Kultus, Bernadette Mayer, Philip Good, Akilah Oliver, Julie Patton, John Wright, that continued beyond Boulder to many other activist zones, the Dreamtime in Wisconsin, the Fifth Street squat with its attendant wrecking ball just a few blocks from here. All those folk, so many of us, carry Brad's spirit in them. He imprinted on so many of us. It was wonderful to see him grow even stronger in his convictions and become such a fearless indie media reporter. I received the bulletins from Brazil, worrying always about his well-being and that of others. And then the last time I saw him was on the streets of New York during the RNC protests. He was in full reporter regalia and did an interview with me outside the pier where illegally arrested protesters were being held in lockdown by the Bloomsburg machine. He was still the passionate, curious, wiry kid, but he had clearly found his brave métier. I was impressed with his grasp of issues, his continuing connection to poetry, and the work he did in line, which is so much in line with Allen Ginsberg's wonderful vow. And what's the work? To ease the pain of living. Everything else, drunken dumb show. Brad had taken this same spiritual vow and was heroic in this. Spring to action for Brad. The will to be such a will that could be inquiry and willingness in the human temp zone, all temperatures rising to be oppositional will, rigorous will, sprung will, mano a mano, will and willing always, breath to breath, breathing mind to mind, that willing eye through a compassionate lens, open, disarming, eye that was will, was willing. The human realm will remember you and the trees and the greenery and so on. Would we resuscitate this will? See, willing, justice willed, willful in this will, still a will to save the planet through willing discourse, willing community, a tough bodhisattva's will to save sentient beings from their own weird human realm, the masters of war, unwilling in their power, grab and greed to give it up. Oh, Brad of the struggle, saying, give it up, guys, give it up, willing towards those below the radar, willingness to protect and vocalize the particulars of the suffering of others. Get down in the zones, in the streets, get down, record those voices, and we'll hold to the line. Hold to the fire. Willowy in his wounded body with a willingness to go the whole ride, the whole journey, travel the maps for change and reclamation. Wildebeest, wilderness, willful, the action of willing or deciding to do something. Brad's intention, his intent, his purpose, his determination, his will power. All the currents that will this will, those conglomerations of tendencies that were Brad will, to be willing and reverse the killing. May his life and death benefit others. It will. And I just wanted to add a note from Peter Lamborn Wilson, Hakim Bey, who I spoke with this morning, and he wanted to convey to this crowd his appreciation of Brad as well, said that he was a great student and he will greatly miss him, and he hopes to see his untimely murder revenged. Justice to all.
Wow. My name's Philip Good. I met Brad through poetry, and that's one of the fringe benefits of poetry. A positive aspect in my life. I wrote this poem, "You Were a Friend of Mine," who took us into a Lower East Side squat, who took us in to steal this radio where Bernadette played whale songs, who made us pots of hot apple juice with ginger to cure what ailed us. You were a friend of mine. The children marveled at your glasses held together by strange wire, the glint in your eyes. Who took a freight train up north, got off and hitched a ride in a bread truck, and got off right in front of where I worked just as I clocked off for the day, and you had scored free bread. Who did what most people could never do? You were a friend of mine. Like it was a walk in the park without fear of the police, without fear of the guns, knowing the bulldozers were around the corner. Who learned of Zapata Emiliana, wanting to champion the poor, wanting to save the trees, change the world, questioning the authorities, who always wanted to bring us closer to utopia, who was a true friend of utopia. Sitting in the mountains of Colorado, speaking your poetic mind, never worried about the questions of experimental poetry, who scored the LSD for poetry, who brought the sunflowers to our backyard. Brad, how did you know where to go next? The next people that needed your fire, breathing fire of poetic energy, turned into what we all knew was the right thing to do. You were a friend of mine. Brad, you had a lot of chutzpah.
This poem is called Chutzpah. Just kidding. You can't say Brad will anymore. We have to say Brad did, or Brad led us to steal this radio, his pirate radio station on the Lower East Side. He showed us, when he lived in a squat, a magazine full of the dreams of squatters. It was scary, dreams of fear of invasion and the taking away of scant possessions. I always felt Brad did what politicians should, act on our behalf. Not that this is that, but when I was teaching synesthesia, Brad scored the LSD I needed to inspire people to paint a tree. Sunflower Brad, we miss you. We do miss you, Brad will, and we will. Thanks.
I just want to introduce a few words into the English language. Perhaps you can circulate them. And that is bradical and ebradicate and bratisattva. And in the spirit of circulating things, I would like everyone to sing our favorite song. I'm going to break it up into three parts. You. Because life is just a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. 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 Thank you.
By Dana Lyons, and I asked him for years to write the lyrics down, and somehow it just never happened until last week I was given the lyrics. So this is his little gift to me, and I was like one of probably thousands of people who had the opportunity to live with Brad for a period of time.
There's a drop of water on the wall, and the drop's about to fall, and it falls into a trickle, and the trickle's running down, down, down to the ground, where the moss begins to grow. Watch, 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 watch the water flow, and watch the current become a dream, busting through the seams, tipping up the concrete, bending down the steel, in a raging that is real, tearing torrents you can feel, feel the thunder growing, thunder underground, and in my heart, the chains falling apart, wildness in my soul, and for once in life, for once in life, I know I'm not alone, for the mountains make our bones, the oceans with our blood, our feet planted, planted firmly in the mud, we are alive, burning embers in our eyes, tingling touch upon our skin, we begin to understand, we are of this land, we are part of earth, and when it's threatened, we will fight for all it's worth, we watch the dam come crashing down, water rushing to the sea, and now the river.
I didn't write anything down. There's so many people here with so many memories of Brad. I lived with him just the last couple of years, so I knew him and shared a bathroom and a kitchen, and I knew Brad for, you know, quite a few years before that, and we did indie media stuff together. And I'm gonna miss him. I loved him a lot. And just thinking about what the community here is going through and how people are reacting, you know, how I'm reacting, and I don't know, Brad did it all with a lot of grace. Like myself, you know, a white guy, this country, certain age, understanding what solidarity is. I think when Frank talks about his wisdom and how Brad did that, when a lot of the community here, you know, we go through ups and downs and struggles, and Brad always got through that with a lot of grace and a lot of smile and love, and that's why he was so well loved. And he understood what it was all about, but I don't think he intellectualized it a lot. I think his wisdom, as I saw him also grow through the years, as we all do, you know, he did it. He just acted out of that instinctive understanding that his own liberation meant shedding that privilege as much as possible and finding the next party and finding the next action, and that's what people, and I want to say some cliche, you know, I hope that this martyr that was close to us in our community and the martyrs that are lost in so many others, you know, bring us together and reevaluate and reconsider our priorities. But I don't have to hope that. I know that's true, and I know that's what we're all doing. So, you know, it's a tough thing, you know, hope, you know, it's not something that I necessarily carry a lot of, but I appreciate and I'm grateful to be honoring that which is truest to me, which is what Brad honored. He honored that spirit inside him, the same thing and the same struggle that people in Oaxaca, and people make mistakes, and maybe Brad, you know, there's that energy, you know, going down there. Did he do solidarity right? And we intellectualize about that and theorize about that, and we're all gonna make mistakes, and this struggle's gonna be a damn long one, and we're gonna lose more of us, you know, before we get there. So that's it, and I'm grateful to be here, and won't take any more time, and I'm gonna miss him. That's it, thanks.
Hi, my name's Michael, and I did write a few words, an outline here. Brad, I'm gonna speak to him a little bit about him as an activist, because that's the way most of my experiences with Brad were. I know when he came to New York City and I first met him down in the squats, he had been on the West Coast doing stuff with Earth First and groups like that. So he had already had his feet wet doing activism, and I learned a lot from Brad. It brought us together, besides living together with him, which I did for about a year and a half. We worked on a number of struggles here in the Lower East Side together, and I'll just list a few of them. One was, Brad was always trying to find a home in one of the squatter buildings in the Lower East Side. It didn't have to be a squat, but it had to be an affordable place for him to live and a place that he could call his home. And he struggled and fought for a number of years, and unfortunately he came up short in a few of those buildings, particularly a building on 5th Street and a building on 9th Street. And 5th Street, people probably know the great story of Brad on the roof of the building when they were demolishing the building. and they came with the wrecking ball. As we used to do, we used to go up there and try to block the wrecking ball, and they would stop with the wrecking ball when we'd be on top of the building. But this time, Brad went up to the roof to try to stop the wrecking ball, and they didn't stop with the wrecking ball. They kept smashing away at that building. But Brad stood his ground, and eventually they did stop. But he displayed incredible courage at that time. He also tried to build a home for himself in a squatter building on 9th Street called Dos Blancos. He also lost that. They put up a good fight there, but we lost that building, and he lost his home. He came to live with me for about a year and a half after that. But some of the struggles that we engaged together with, the movement to save over 500 gardens in the city of New York, we were successful, and we worked with the group More Gardens, and Brad was an integral part of that. There are many photographs and many experiences and memories that people have about how we save those community gardens, and we'll probably march by some today. Yes, he was involved with the struggle to save our cultural and community center, ABC No Rio, and that's here today to a large degree, thanks to the efforts of the people who have been building the center, and also Brad Will, who has made his sacrifices for that. We did a lot of other stuff together, World Bank stuff, whatever, you know. Brad was a great cat. You know, as a journalist, you know, I never really thought of Brad as a journalist. You know, I'm a neighborhood type of guy. I don't turn on the internet. You know, I'm not that sharp on a lot of the high-tech stuff. But, you know, I always thought of Brad as an activist. But I started thinking about him as a journalist and as an activist, and I think that he is actually, he's the perfect fusion, the synthesis between the spirit of journalism and the spirit of activism, which I think is sadly missing to a large degree. Nowadays, a lot of journalists show up to actions and they seem to be somehow separate from, they're just recording the events. But Brad was always an integral part of any action he was involved with. That's why I thought of him first and foremost as an activist and as a humanist, which brings me to the last thing that I'd just like to say about Brad. Brad was a lover of life, an absolute lover of life. And any reason that any of us ever engage in political activism or activism of any type is to preserve our culture, preserve our cultural values, our family values, meaning our love of human being to human being across borders, across the world, basic fundamental human rights. And Brad was a lover of good food, good times, really good music, and a lover of people. And that's worth fighting for. And unfortunately, Brad lost his life for that. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Roger. I'd like to thank the Freegans and the Time's Up diving team and all the other individuals who brought food for today. And we do need a little help transporting food from here at after the service to the Time's Up space for the after party. So I'm sure we can all just grab a little bit of food, make a quick run down the Houston Street, and still catch up with the people at La Plaza or whatever. So thanks. I was reading that years and years ago that Emma Goldman did some time as a nurse, and she was in her nurse's uniform in Tompkins Square Park one afternoon, was really tired, wanted to lay down and take a nap on a park bench, and a cop come by and says, "Hey, go ahead, nurse, take a nap, I'll make sure no one bothers you," having no idea that it was Red Emma, the famous anarchist, that he would have probably beat the shit out of if he'd known. Fast forward to the 90s, early 90s, when the neighborhood had changed quite a bit and a lot of gentrification and a new curfew on the park. You had to leave at midnight, and I don't know, I'd go to Tompkins Square Park to hang out and just be with people, and there was fewer people. A lot of people had already relocated out of town because of the higher rents. But Brad Will was there, so Brad and I and a small number of other people would just hang out and sort of benefit from each other's love and company. Perhaps on Emma's old bench, who knows, right? Waiting for midnight. Tasteful prison, roots of discontent. In LA, Maine is a one-way street. In New York, we're in the park, waiting for midnight. And our country feels very small. Our city feels very small. Our low cider feels very small. About as big as Emma's old bench, loaded with friends, you know what time it is. Meanwhile, millions trade life for law and order and spend their day waiting for midnight. Most everyone's either making lies or buying them. Or maybe you're dangerous, 'cause you've got your own head. No sale. If that's true, then we love you. We're in the park, waiting for midnight.